Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sun Pharma's Q4 FY25 financial results conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma, Vice President and Head of Investor Relations and Strategic Projects. Thank you, and over to you, Dr. Sharma.
Thanks. Thank you. Good evening and a warm welcome to our fourth quarter FY25 earnings call. I'm Abhishek from the Sun Pharma Investor Relations team. We hope you have received the Q4 financials and the press release that was sent out earlier in the day. These are also available on our website. We have with us Mr. Dilip Shanghvi, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. C.S. Muralidharan, CFO, Mr. Abhay Gandhi, CEO North America, and Mr. Kirti Ganorkar, CEO India Business. Today, the team will provide an update on the financial performance and business highlights for the quarter, pipeline updates, and respond to any questions that you may have. We will refer to the consolidated financials for management comments. The call recording and call transcript will also be put up on our website shortly. The discussion today might include certain forward-looking statements, and these must be viewed in conjunction with the risk that our business faces. You're requested to ask two questions in the initial round. I also request all of you to kindly send in your questions that may remain unanswered today. I will now hand over the call to our CFO, Mr. C.S. Muralidharan.
Welcome and thank you for joining us for this earnings call after the announcement of financial results for the fourth quarter FY25. Our full year and Q4 financials are already with you. The full year FY25 sales were at rupees 520,412 million, a growth of 9% over last year. Material cost stands at 20.7% of sales, lower than last year on account of better product mix, including higher share of sales from specialty business. Staff cost stands at 19.2% of sales, flat year-on-year. Other expenses are at 32.2% of sales, flat versus FY24. Forex gain for the year was rupees 1,855 million, compared to gain of rupees 361 million last year. EBITDA for the year was rupees 152,717 million, a growth of 17.3%, with a resulting EBITDA margin of 29%. Adjusted net profit for the year was rupees 119,844 million, up 19%. Reported net profit for the year was rupees 109,290 million, compared to rupees 95,764 million for FY24. Let us now discuss the Q4 FY25 performance. Q4 FY25 sales were at rupees 128,156 million, a growth of 8.5% over Q4 FY24. Material cost for the quarter were 20.6% of sales. Staff cost came in at 19.4% of sales. Other expenses were lower year-on-year as a percentage of sales and higher on Q-on-Q due to higher sales and distribution expenses across geographies. Forex gain for the quarter was rupees 2,912 million, compared to a loss of rupees 564 million in Q4 FY24. EBITDA, including other operating revenues, was at rupees 37,161 million, higher by 22.4% over Q4 last year. EBITDA margin for the quarter was 28.7%, compared to 25.3% in Q4 FY24 and 29.3% in Q3 FY25. We had a few exceptional items in Q4 FY25, amounting to rupees 3,617 million. A major portion comes from an impairment of investment in Lindra Therapeutics, rupees 2,597 million. Adjusted net profit, excluding the exceptional items for Q4 FY25, was rupees 28,890 million, representing a growth of 4.8% over Q4 FY24. Reported net profit for Q4 FY25 stands at rupees 21,499 million. The effective tax rate for Q4 FY25 was 19.8%, compared to 5.1% in Q4 FY24. Tax rate for the full year is 16.6% versus 12.4% in FY24. Going forward, we expect the tax rate to continue to go up on a full year basis, mainly on account of exhaustion of tax losses. Reported EPS for the quarter was at rupees 9 per share. As of 31st March 2025, net cash was $3.1 billion at the consolidated level. The board has proposed a final dividend of rupees 5.50 per share for the year FY25. This is in addition to the interim dividend of rupees 10.50 per share, taking the total dividend for FY25 to rupees 16 per share compared to rupees 13.50 per share for FY24. Over to Kirti Kanurkar, who will share the performance of our India business.
Yeah, thank you, Murli. I shall take you through the performance of our India business. Our India formulation sales for the full year FY25 were 1,69,230 million, recording 13.7% growth over previous year. For Q4, the sales of formulation and India were 42,130 million, recording a growth of 13.6% over Q4 last year. India formulation sales accounted for 32.9% of total consolidated sales for the quarter. Sun Pharma is ranked number 1 and holds 8.3% market share in over rupees 2259 billion Indian pharmaceutical market as per AIOCD AWACS MAT March 25 report. Corresponding market share for the previous period was 8%. For the quarter ending March 25, we grew higher than IPM and we have done well across all major represented therapy areas, primarily led by volume growth and new product introductions. As per SMSRC MAT November-February 25 report, we continue to be number one brand company based on the prescription volumes. Sun Pharma is also ranked number one by prescription with 13 different doctor categories. For quarter FY25, the company launched 10 new products in India. There are new products planned for future launch in diabetes and weight management space. During this month, Sun Pharma launched a corporate branding campaign. This is for the first time that we have launched a corporate branding initiative at this scale. The campaign underscores Sun Pharma's roles in the lives of patients, caregivers, doctors, pharmacists, and communities, reaffirming its leadership in India. Now I will hand over call to Abhay.
Thank you, Kirti. I will update on the performance highlights of our U.S. business. Our overall U.S. business grew by 3.6% to $1,921 million for the full year FY25. The growth is driven by specialties, with all our growth products contributing like Ilumya, Cequa, Winlevi and Odomzo, but offset by a decline in generics for the full year. In Q4, our overall sales in the U.S. were $464 million, lower by 2.5% over Q4 of last year, with growth in specialty offset by a decline in generics. The generic business declined due to additional competition in certain products. The U.S. accounted for over 31.4% of consolidated sales for the quarter. In Q4, we launched two generic products in the U.S. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Shanghi.
Thank you, Abhay. I will now provide an update on the performance highlights of our other businesses as well as give you an update on our R&D initiatives. Our branded formulation revenues in emerging markets were $1,114 million for the full year, up 7% year on year. For Q4, sales in emerging markets was $261 million, up 6.3% over Q4 last year. The underlying growth in constant currency terms was 11.5% year on year for Q4. Emerging markets accounted for 17.6% of total consolidated revenue for Q4 amongst the larger markets. In local currency terms, Romania, Russia, and Brazil have done well.
Formulation revenues in rest of the world were $847 million, up 4.5% over last year. For Q4, rest of the world sales were $200 million, up 2% over Q4 last year. Rest of the world markets account for approximately 13.5% of consolidated revenue. In FY25, our global specialty sales were up 17.1% to reach $1.216 billion. In Q4 financial year 25, our global specialty sales were up 8.6% to reach $295 million. Global Ilumya sales for the year were up 17% to $681 million. This figure does not include end market sales of our partners. We continue to invest in building a R&D pipeline for both the global generics and the specialty businesses. Consolidated investments towards R&D for Q4 FY25 stands at ₹8,116 million, or 6.4% of sales. The specialty R&D accounted for 36% of our total R&D spend for the quarter. Moving on an update on global specialty, there are few changes in our clinical pipeline. We are now seeking a partner for future development and commercialization of MM2 in certain geographies. This change is due to the strategic reassessment of our pipeline. We continue to believe in the potential of the product. The other change is that we are now planning a trial of GL0034 in type 2 diabetes as its first indication. Sun Pharma has agreed to acquire Checkpoint Therapeutics, a company specializing in immunotherapy and targeted oncology. We are awaiting approval of that transaction and subsequent closing. Checkpoint has recently received approval from US FDA for Unloxcyt for metastatic or locally advanced cutaneous squamous cell carcinoma, and we look forward to leveraging our presence to accelerate patients' access to Unloxcyt. And lastly, on the guidance of FY26, we expect mid to high single digit consolidated top line growth for FY26. For the current year, we are looking to invest approximately $100 million additionally on commercialization of new specialty product. This investment will enable us to significantly strengthen our specialty business for the future. We now expect our FY26 R&D spend to be 6-8% of sales for the next year.
Operator, that's the end of our readout. We can go to Q&A, please.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and 1 to ask the question. First question is from line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. First question on the global specialty sales growth for the quarter. This is after many quarters we have seen a single digit top line growth in this business. And I think the quarter four base from last year was also a little lower because of the issues at United Healthcare. But so is there any one-off why we are seeing this kind of lower growth in this quarter? Because sometimes branded companies do see some rebate adjustment, etc., which would lead to this kind of growth. So any color there would be helpful.
So Abhay, you will respond.
No, sure. I mean, so I can only speak for the US, Kunal, but Jan and Feb typically are lighter months in the US because of change in the way the insurance resets happen. But otherwise, when I look at the prescription trend and the inventory trends that are there in the market, and I'm comfortable that our key brands will continue to grow. And clearly no one-offs.
Okay, but any particular product is being weaker than others?
Kunal, sorry to interrupt you. We are losing your audio. Hello, Kunal. Can you please come in a better reception area, please?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah,
sorry for that. So any particular product that you want to call out, or is it a broad base? You said it's more like a seasonality, Jan-Feb, which would have played out.
Not really a seasonality, Kunal. It's more to do with insurance research. No particular product that I can call out.
Okay. Sure. And second one, on the 100 million additional spend that we are expecting this year to spend, the whole idea of getting more dermatology product was to kind of reduce gain more synergies of our front end infra, which is already in the place, right? So I'm just little bit confused as to why do we need such a big amount, even if we launch two products in dermatology and derma onco, which is something that we have already been doing for quite some time.
So there are specific products.
It's a question of looking at how other companies, even very large companies, have a significant launch cost for a new product. So once you study, I think this actually is a conservative number.
Okay. And sir, this is launch cost. So in the future, it should basically moderate, right? That's the way we should look at it?
So which is what I said, is that we don't actually look at this as a cost. We look at this as an investment. And we expect this to further help us strengthen our specialty business.
Great, sir. Thank you. I have more questions. I'll join back with you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Nana Damyanti Kirai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My question is on Leqselvi. So now, what are the plans for launch of this product in the US? If you can give us some timeline there.
So I think in the quarter two, we will be launching this product in the US.
Second quarter of this fiscal?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, and my second question is on your generic business in the US, where you mentioned there was some price pressure, etc. So two things: has it worsened compared to recent quarter in the base portfolio? And also, if you can comment, in the fourth quarter, was Revlimid a significant contributor?
So I'll start with your latter question. I mean, our Revlimid sales in the Q4 was similar to Q3, and that was not very significant. On pricing, I think we have consistently said that it's a product-specific thing and nothing which I can speak to on a generalized basis. So product-specific, we continue to see pressure on pricing.
Okay. It's product to product, and nothing we should read as part of the change in industry which might have happened on the pricing part.
No, there is not much which has changed as far as overall industry dynamics is concerned. Basically, it remains the same as what we have seen in the past.
Okay. Thank you, Abhay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Neha Manpuria for Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Abhay, first question on the checkpoint asset. You know, what should we think about from a timeline perspective for the launch of the product? You know, will we first, obviously the deal needs to be completed, so will that be a launch probably in the later part of the year?
So I think we have to wait for the launch to, I mean, for the acquisition to go through all the clearances. And before that, it won't be fair to give an answer on when we will launch. So I think we'll have to wait for the processes to get over before I, you know, I'm able to answer that question. Maybe on the next call, I will be able to.
Fair enough. That's clear. My second question is on the India business. We saw a fantastic, you know, growth this year, given what the industry has been doing. Kirti, sir, you know, when we think about next year, do we need to invest more in MR? You know, should the growth momentum that we've seen this year continue? Any color that we can provide on how we are thinking about the India business and the investments there?
No. What I have been telling for last couple of calls, we want to grow higher than the market, and that's the effort we are continuously putting quarter after quarter. So this year our growth is at least 3-4% higher than the market, and the growth is coming from volume and new product. So I strongly believe we have a good base, and then the momentum should continue. But we can't predict what this growth will be in coming years. It's very difficult. Yeah.
And any MR expansion plans for the growth?
No, it's like a strategic lever, what we said. Whenever we had done expansion, it has helped us to grow. Depending on the opportunity which may come, we will decide on the expansions.
Got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from UBS Group. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Just trying to understand this $100 million additional spend. So it will be multiple areas that will be spending in, but just checking, is there a dominant part that you guys will be spending on? So what I'm trying to ask is, you guys not been doing TV ads right now, would you start doing TV ads for the new one? Or how much of this, let's say roughly, is going in expanding the infrastructure on the ground, let's say more sales force versus more promotion? So what will be a rough split of Salesforce expense versus the promotions expense out of this $100 million?
So the products that we are talking about are niche areas, Anubhav. So they do not lend themselves to TV advertising, clearly. So the promotion will be more with the HCPs as well as the patient advocacy groups. Later on, as we evolve, we will keep evaluating what works best for the product.
And Abhay, the spend will be largely more tilted towards the promotion rather than adding more people on the ground.
It will be a combination. There will be certain expenses related to optimizing the field force, looking at the target audience that we need to cover, and also looking at competitive dynamics and how your competitors are structured. Large part will, of course, be the variable promo spend.
Understood. And just last clarity on this, and then I'll move to the second question. This is largely for the new products, right? For the existing business, that's...
Sorry, I missed you. Can you repeat?
The question is, this $100 million spend is largely for the new products that you'll be launching, the two products that you'll be launching. The existing specialty business is on business as usual.
That's correct. This is only for the new launches.
Okay, that's helpful. Second question is for Dilipbhai. I'm just trying to understand one thing, that current manufacturing for the branded product is out. Sun doesn't manufacture directly, most of them, and gets them contract manufactured. So let's say the tariffs, no one knows what number will come out or tariffs, but just trying to understand that how much, just as a process, how much time does it take if you need to shift manufacturing from outside US to US, from one contract manufacturer to the other contract manufacturer. So the question one is on time. Secondly, what's the harm in Sun Pharma already starting the process now, given what US wants to do it, etc.? So in terms of doing it, doing it later versus doing it now as a backup mechanism? Just your thoughts on that.
No, I think it's a good suggestion. You have to keep one thing in perspective, that Ilumya is a biological, and transferring a biological product and giving the kind of quantities that we require is not something that is easy to identify a CDMO who can do that in the US. So we are looking at, because it's not a question of where we do fill finish. We will have to manufacture the full product in the US, starting with the active substance.
Sorry, one part of the question was that if you want to do it, how much time does it take if you want to transfer the full product?
I think both cost and time. I think my view is that it will take at least 2.5-3 years before the new source is approved by the agency. And it costs a lot of money.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. Next question is from line of Shashank Krishnakumar from Emkay Global. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So my first question was on Ilumya. I think a partner in Europe has commercialized a 200 mg version there. Just wanted to understand the thought process and if we have plans to also sort of commercialize it in the US market.
Abhay, you want to respond?
I think on the Europe part, you can, sir. In US, we are evaluating for the filing and then subsequently launching the product, but it will take some time.
Got it. Secondly, on MM2, I think we are past phase 2 and I think we also have a fast-track designation here. Just wanted to understand why we are looking to sort of enter into a partnership to commercialize this. Is it largely because it doesn't fall in within a broader oncoderma framework, or why this change in the commercialization strategy? That
no, I think you say it is right. Is that it doesn't kind of fit immediately into a focus in the US. Because I think we're further strengthening our presence in the dermatology. We continue to look at opportunities in ophthalmology. So,
got it. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Next question is from line of Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, question is related to the launch seems to have been delayed by, I think...
Vivek, sorry to interrupt you. Your audio is not clear.
Yeah, sorry. The question is related to Leqselvi. The launch seems to have been delayed by 3-4 quarters because of the litigations, etc. So does anything change from this delay, let's say, your expectations from this product, competitive dynamics, or are your expectations from the product are more or less same, let's say you would have launched the product last year? Thank you.
We still believe we have a competitive product. However, since the launch is delayed by, as you said, 3 quarters, I think the time to our expected peak will move a little. But I think the attempt of the team will be to try and make up for that lost time by increasing the focus on the product and the investment on the product to try and mitigate it to the extent that we can.
Thanks. The second question is related to the recent acquisition on block size. So if I was looking at some of the competitive products, right, the unlock size has a bit longer infusion, around 60 minutes. It don't have other indications, etc. While if you look at some of the other competing products like Liptai or well entrenched into the market, longer clinical history, wider indication, just we're trying to understand why the prescribers would shift to the new therapy and look like it. You can help us understand. Thank you.
I mean, two ways of looking at the whole thing. While you write that your competitors will have multiple indications, I and we will end up with only one indication. And that also means that we'll be able to, you know, give our attention and time to one single indication and try and be the best we can in the arena that we compete in. So it helps us focus also better. So you can look at it either way. We look at it, of course, clearly, but it helps us focus better. Also, don't forget, in the same indication, or rather with the same customer group, we have two other products that we go to. So we have familiarity with the customer groups. Some, of course, will be new to us. But, you know, we understand the space, and that also helps.
Understood. So just a related question here. Is it, although you didn't launch the product yet, but is it pricing going to be one of the key differentiators? Because this is what I think the Checkpoint also indicated earlier, that the product can be priced much lower compared to some of the other products that are in the market and can help a better market share.
How do you expect me to answer a pricing question when I haven't even decided the time of launch exactly? And transaction itself is not yet completed.
Understood, sir. Thank you. Yeah. That's from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Bino from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good evening. First question on Leqselvi. The patent litigation, as I understand, is ongoing. So to that extent, if we launch in coming second quarter, it would be sort of at risk of any damages if at all we lose the patent litigation. Am I right in thinking so?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. And second, this 100 million additional spend that you would do, how should we look at it? You will have a normal selling SG&A expense on which you will have a normal increase which happens every year. On top of that, there will be an additional 100 million. Is that the way we can model it?
That's correct. That's correct. I think we don't want only get the normal expenses. We want to understand that there are significant launch-related costs for these products, and it needs to be factored. We don't want to negatively surprise investors afterwards.
Sure. And finally, there is a tax rate which has gone up significantly compared to last few years at 19% this year, consolidated level. Is that a new range we should look at for tax, or is there some reason why it is high this year?
So we have indicated in earlier communications also that the tax rates continue to inch or go up, mainly due to this year. We have also said that utilization of the past losses we exhausted. That's one of the primary reasons for the increase in tax rate.
Okay, so practically this is roughly the range that we should expect going forward. Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, Bino, just one second.
Yeah.
So what I said is that it will inch up, I said, compared to the last year. If you see, our full year was 16.6, this year is 19.8. That's because of the exhaustion of tax losses. It could inch up from the current level.
Got it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Girish from OrbiMed. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Abhay, just going back to Checkpoint, actually, I know the transition is yet to close, but what's the key difference between the competition, particularly Libtayo, for this asset?
I think broadly our understanding is that in the class it has possibly the safest side effect profile.
Okay. So Dilipbhai, if I just actually ask a bit of a generic question here, given this is PD-L1, others are PD-1. So is there a difference for clinicians materially? I don't know if it has been observed in a clinical setting or in other cancers. Does that give a material edge to your asset?
We believe it does.
Okay, that's helpful. Second question was on the psoriasis market, I mean, I know Ilumya is going strong, but FY 2027-28, given there'll be full steam Humira, full steam Stelara biosimilar, what's your thought on, let's say, 3 years down the line to this asset?
It's an evolving situation, so we keep evaluating. And yeah, I mean, my expression, which you can't see, is similar to the Dilip's, but whatever modeling we have done so far, I mean, there will be an impact, but we think it will be a small impact, and the product can continue to be a growth driver in the existing therapy as well as with the new indication that we will get.
In, would biosimilars, let's say, impact differently in a medical channel and versus commercial, do you think?
So it's a narrower competitive field. So to that extent, it helps. Now, how much is something that we need to continuously evaluate? Because there is only so much that you can estimate with a great degree of certainty.
Right. Abhay, do you have any number, like how much biosimilar penetration should there be, let's say, 3 years down the line from both these products?
I mean, I can't have a number which I can share with you.
Fair. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So just with respect to firstly on the R&D spend guidance of 6 to 8%, so does this factor the R&D spend additional or higher R&D spend on the existing projects, or are we building new projects for the R&D spend? That's my first question.
There's everything. It does not include transactions that we have not done. If there is a transaction that we do in future during the year, then that can change the guidance. But this includes whatever that we have in the pipeline.
Got it. And so secondly, with the growth in, let's say, branded markets of India, emerging markets, and the specialty, and at the same time spending on the specialty product. So how to think about the EBITDA growth compared to revenue growth for FY26?
I mean, generally we don't give margin guidance. That is why, because we felt that analysts would not have clarity about increased cost of launching the product, we gave a specific number, which helps them model, but we don't give margin guidance.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from UBS Group. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just trying to understand the impact of new MFN laws on Sun Pharma here. So please help me understand if this is important metric to look at. So if on the Medicare side, if they would they look at price difference between Ilumya in the US and Ilumetri in Europe and then try to compare the two and ask you guys to, let's say, match those prices? One, that's first part of the question. Second, is there a material difference between the price of Ilumya and Ilumetri?
No, I think we have to wait for greater clarity on finally how this, because as I read it, it is kind of currently at a voluntary level. So we have no idea as to how it plays out. So we have to wait for greater clarity before we respond. To the question of the price difference between the US and Europe, I think all the branded products will have significant difference in the prices between US as well as Europe. I mean, this is not only our product, all the products. Only thing we have to keep in perspective is that it, and for any reason I don't understand, but stock prices of big pharma companies have not changed.
Just one technical clarity on this. Like Sun is selling Illumina in the US, but Sun technically is not selling in Europe. So does it...
There are many, many issues that we can go into. So till the time we have clarity on finally how the law... So this is just a, what you call, guidance document without specific how it will be implemented and on what condition, what provision. Because if you see the IRA, when they wanted to implement, they gave a significant amount of time and very great level of clarity as to how, what is negotiation, how it will be done. So that level of clarity doesn't exist here.
Okay. Thank you, Dilip. Second question is on R&D. So I'm talking not on the specialty, but on the generic R&D here, on the non-specialty side. The absolute amount for Sun Pharma is large, similar in the last 4 years, somewhere about $230 million. Based on the focus of the company on the specialty side, how would you think about this absolute amount that the company is spending on the generic side? Would this absolute amount remain flattish, go down from here because the focus on generic is reducing and as well as opportunities in the markets are reducing?
I mean, generally I have said that there would be increase in the specialty R&D. However, since we spend money as a percentage of our turnover, I am not expecting the absolute money spent on R&D for generics to go down.
Okay. Can I ask one more question? Just join back with you.
Yeah, okay.
One question is about cash. So the company is carrying $3 billion cash with them and almost generating more than $1 billion free cash flow. So all the acquisitions that you made so far in last few years, they were less than the free cash flow companies were generating, and you've not been using the cash pile. So just trying to understand here, what is the eventual use? Would someday you will end up doing a very large acquisition, so you will use the cash? Otherwise, your free cash flow is so large that you're not acquiring to that extent.
No, I think we've always consistently maintained that we continue to look at acquisitions which will help us create value. Because any business that we acquire, we should be able to run it significantly better than the current owners. Or we should have significant potential synergies. Otherwise, it will not justify the acquisition premium.
So would you be look out for a large acquisition at some point of time, not the timeline, but if you get an opportunity like that, even if it's a large platform, you would be able to...
We will, with our NBAXI experience, we will also look at our ability to manage. Because anything that we do, we should then be able to manage and manage it well. But size is not something which... would kind of put us off. We are open to do it, but more important, it has to be strategic and multiple other what I would call checklist it needs to go through.
Sure. Thank you very much for your responses.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity again. Couple of questions on UnlockSet. Abhay, would you say that Illumia's current prominent sales channel in the US could also be the primary channel for UnlockSet?
Sorry, I'm not clear on the question. Illumia and UnlockSet are in two different spaces.
Right, but the payer channel, let's say there are payer channels like Medicare Part D, commercial, Medicaid, right? So would you say that Illumia's prominent channel would also be the UnlockSet's primary channel for sales, given the,
There is some overlap. I think I would not want to characterize it as a, same channel at all, because it will be a combination. There is a buy and bill component. That is where you are going, but that will not be the only one as well.
Secondly, since we have Levulan in the portfolio, which is for actinic keratosis, which is a precursor condition for the squamous cell carcinoma, do you think does that also help us synergistically identify patients, versus maybe competition?
Which is what I said in when I answered a prior question by another of your peers, that understanding the space and knowing the customers and the condition, you know, will help us definitely. And that is why we are looking at more products in that space to strengthen our franchise as a whole.
Sure. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, sir. So one question I have on the specialty pipeline. This is regarding SCD-044 for atopic dermatitis and psoriasis. So are we expecting the, you know, top line data, which is mentioned as first half of this calendar year? That means in the next 1 month or so?
Sorry, which product?
SCD-044.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. And my second question would be on R&D spend. Assuming, you know, this data is, good and you want to start the phase 3, when do you expect phase 3 trials for this product to start? And have you sort of factored that sort of expense for phase 3 in the R&D guidance for fiscal 26, or you think that comes up in fiscal 27?
You're talking now, continue to talk of SCD-044?
Yeah, that's right, sir. I mean, assuming, you know, I mean, once we get the data.
I think as a process, what we've done is we've been in, what you call it, evaluated all potential studies that we will either we have ongoing or which we will start during the year, and how much we can spend during the year as a part of the guidance.
Right, sir. So just, are these phase 3 studies very expensive? I mean, can you give some color, or, you know, it's like, when if you can give some idea about the quantum of spend if you have to do phase 3 studies for these assets?
No, general line answer would be these are long studies and expensive studies. Specific number till we have the negotiate, because we have to power the study. For that, we have to understand the phase 2 data with a view to understand how to power. So all of that will help us in designing the study and that. So till we have that clarity, we will not. We would have taken some indicative number for all potential studies which are likely to be started. But some of them will be, and that is the reason why we have this 6 to 8% guidance.
Got it, sir. Okay, sir. Thank you.
Sam, do you have any follow-up question?
No, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lana Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. Now, if you look at current U.S. administration is talking and also focusing a lot on reducing the role of middleman, PBMs, etc. So, how do you see this move? Do you see improvement in access of some of the products like Ilumya, Sequa, etc., where still, I think, there is a lot of scope as far as the improvement in commercial segment? Thank you.
I think the answer will be similar to what Mr. Shanji answered when it comes to MFN. There are no specifics at this moment, so on the ground, no changes.
Understood, sir. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you. Next question is from Kunal Lakhan from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Good evening. Just on the MFN again, like, I know you said there's no clarity there and on how it will be implemented, but just in the event that it does get implemented, you know, what proportion of the U.S. business would be impacted by this? Will it be like the entire U.S. specialty portfolio or some part of it?
I mean, there's no clarity only, no, whether it will apply to Medicare, Medicaid, or it will apply to commercial. So, when there is no clarity, how can we give any idea?
Oh, okay, all right.
I mean, there is a statement, if you say, which says that patient can get access. I don't know how a patient will get access. Till there is a method by which a patient can claim reimbursement from the insurance company, because doctors have a way by which they can claim reimbursement for products in the formulary. So how will this process work? There has to be some clarity.
Understood, sir. On the investment of $100 million for launch of new products, what would this number would have been in FY25?
So this we are guiding for extra cost.
I get it, but is there a similar number in FY25 that was embedded, which you have not separately indicated?
No, we didn't launch any important product last year. No?
Sure, understood. Also, any color on or any expectation that you have on the tariff side, where those discussions are heading?
Tariff. We've no idea. I think so. We have to wait for clarity to emerge.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next follow-up question is from the line of Damayanti Kerai from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity again. My question is for Ilumya for psoriatic arthritis indication. So in your release, it's mentioned top line data expected in second half of this calendar year. So just want to check. Earlier you mentioned that there were some delays in patient recruitment, etc. So all those have been covered and you are now on track to release data?
Yeah, that's the disclosure, correct.
Okay. And
also, if you see, it took a long, long time. So from a typical phase 3 study, we should have done this much earlier.
Okay, and this data, will that be sufficient for you to file to the US FDA for this indication?
Yeah, that's the idea.
Okay, that's helpful. My second question is on emerging markets. So again, the business is above $1 billion US dollar. So can you comment on its profitability? Like, how does it look compared to the corporate average?
I mean, what is the question?
I just want to understand the profitability profile of your emerging market business in comparison to the corporate margin levels. Like, how does it look? Better, lower, or broadly on par?
No, I think it's a very profitable business.
Okay, and you have like few big markets which you read out in your comment earlier. So those are the focus markets for you, or do you have planned to look into some newer market as well?
No, those are the, we have one or two additional focus market, but otherwise these are the major markets.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you.
Next question is from line of Kunal Damesha from Macquarie Group. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity again. Just one on the Nidlegy. After our foray with the checkpoint, is there any change in thinking about this product for the US market? Because it kind of fills the gap on the melanoma skin cancer.
No, I think we are evaluating its attractiveness for the U.S. because they are doing two separate study, one for Europe and one for U.S. So with the different timelines.
And one follow-up question on the Ilumya pricing, where you suggested that, you know, any branded products, the pricing in U.S. would be higher than the other developed markets. But let's say average out-of-pocket cost for Ilumya in U.S. would be meaningfully lower than the other developed market prices for Ilumya, or? Or out-of-pocket cost would be higher than the other developed market prices for Ilumya.
Your question is whether out-of-pocket in U.S. is higher than the market price of the other countries, or what is the question?
Yes, that is the question.
How can that be? U.S. There will be no sale in case if people have to pay that kind of money in the U.S. Abhay, I think you can clarify, but that's my understanding.
I mean, it cannot be. Except an uninsured, patient, that kind of money nobody pays out of pocket. Otherwise, for a particular product, that is the scenario. Then the doctors and patients will shift to something else.
Then practically, MFN in its current form is only for uninsured patient, is what we can conclude, right?
No, we can't conclude anything. I think that's the reason. So I think let's not try to read more than what we know. I think there will be greater clarity as time progresses.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Next follow-up question is from the line of Tushar Manudhane from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity again. So just with respect to this, the charge of $37 million with respect to national prescription opiate litigation. So is that what the overall amount to be paid, or is there something more to be coming in the coming quarters?
So this is the substantial amount that has also been provided in the books.
Okay. And also, if you could just clarify this 11 million, while small amount, but still that is gone for this integration and restructuring of operations in U.S. This is, if you could just elaborate a bit on this.
The 11 million, you're talking about the exceptional item? So that is regarding the SARO and concert integration related expenses.
Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from us.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Dhaval from Jefferies India. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for taking my question. So just wanted to check on Unlock Set. Does Keytruda patent expiry in coming years, will that significantly impact the market dynamics once that event occurs? That's the first question. Second, on the guidance, for past several years, we have done high single to low double digit. And for this year, it's lower than what we have done. India, clearly, we have sort of, we are doing well, and we are looking to outperform the market. So it kind of indicates that, there's a slowdown in the global specialty or the ROW and EM markets. So will that be the correct interpretation?
No, I think the correct interpretation is high level of global uncertainty. Because today, if you look at currency fluctuations of rates in different geographies, it's very difficult to predict. If you see, we disclose part of it in constant currency growth, which sometimes is significantly different from actual growth that financially we are able to show. So No, I think overall we are operating from a view that businesses are well positioned to continue to grow.
Dhaval, do you have any follow-up question?
I think, Abhay, would you answer about Keytruda and unlocks it? What will be the impact?
Yes, sure. I mean, what I would say is that our indication is only one of the indications for Keytruda. And in acquiring the product and building up our business case, the patent expiry of the competition has been factored in. And we still feel that the product can become a meaningful contributor to our specialty business in the US.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from Lano Fayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the follow-up. Is there an update on Mohali and Halol site as far as FDA issues are concerned? And have the supplies from Mohali completely normal at this point?
So I think we've disclosed that we've requested FDA to audit Halol. They have to decide. I think most likely this may be a surprise audit. So we don't know when they are likely to audit. Mohali as well as Dadra, I think we've not yet requested them because some of the ongoing remediation, they have to be completed, our view, so that we can then request for an audit. So when we will do that, we will discuss.
Got it, sir. And my second question, you know, on this specialty product, Fibromone, for soft tissue, sarcoma, and glioblastoma, can you give some timeline as to what we should sort of look forward to over the course of the next year or next 2 years? What are the key milestones and timeline around that?
So at this point, I don't want to give something this, but I understand that there is a interest in trying to get a greater clarity. So we will try and see what we can share.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vishal from Systematics Group. Please go ahead.
Good evening and thanks for the opportunity. On MM2, wanted to understand whether this is a device or a drug and what would be the phase 3 timelines, like how long that can take for it to be commercialized?
No, it is treated as a drug in many geographies. In Europe, it is treated as a device. And the typical timeline would depend on what kind of studies the regulator will ask, and whether there would be a requirement at least to cover a large number of subjects. So it's all a function of finalizing the protocol with the agency to decide on the time required for completing the study.
So since, like, assuming, like, if this is, as you said, it's a device for European regulators, does that mean the size of the trial can be lower, or the duration of the trial can be lower? But that doesn't matter.
No, size of the trial would be lower in case if it's treated as a device. But I think our interest would be to register it as a... I mean, my understanding is that the product attractiveness comes on if it's approved as a drug in some of the geographies.
Okay. And just one final one on semaglutide. Would we look to commercialize that in our focus emerging markets?
Yeah, I think that's the plan.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from me.
Thank you. Next question is from Vivek Agarwal from Citigroup. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks. Most of the questions have been answered. Just
On generic business, in FY25, we have seen a decline. So how to see the generic business panning out in 2026? Do you still expect to grow this business in 2026 or how to look at it? Thank you.
I think when we are able to get our plants in compliance, that will help in gradually improving the profile of the generic business.
Yeah, but otherwise, our overall guidance is factoring all the potential for all our businesses.
Understood, sir. And on Revlimid, right, the product was not there in this, not significant in this quarter, previous quarter. So do you expect this product to reflect in some upcoming quarters, or is it more or less done for you?
No, I think it is included, like what I said, in our overall guidance.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Madhav from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Hi. First question is on the sales growth guidance. I think you all said the mid-single digit to high single growth. We're being a bit conservative because of global uncertainty, and it seemed like it was linked more to the forex volatility potentially that may happen. Is that what we're referring to, or is it some other uncertainty that we're referring to here?
No, I think so many open issues. You see Japan, if you see tariff, you see fluctuations in global currency rate fluctuations. So all of that, I think it's better to be realistic about our ability to manage and our getting impacted by things which are not in our control. So our effort is not to kind of get into a situation where we give justification of what we can't achieve.
But like you yourself mentioned that on the tariff, MFN, there's actually lack of clarity. So I don't think anybody knows how it finally comes in. So this seems like we've been just conservative rather than knowing any actual impact, right? Is that how we should think about it?
No, I think what you should think is that it is wise at this point of time not to take a stretch objective.
Okay, got it. And so the second question was just on the $100 million spend for the new specialty launch in FY26. Given it seems like it's more of a launch expense, is this something which is a recurring expense, or this is the kind of spend we usually have when we launch the product and then it reduces, or this is going to be more of a recurring expense in the future years as the product scales up?
Abhay, can you respond, or?
So I think you have to look at it in two ways. The year also will be a partial year for launch of the two products. So some are very initial upfront expenses, and some will be recurring. Now, I haven't done the budgeting for next year, so I don't know how it will shape up. But any launch will have an upfront and then a certain recurring also. Like, for example, if you take a field force, if I have an X number of people, that's then a recurring expense. But for the year, it will be only reflected partially. So it's a combination. How the next year would shape up, I think we will give probably a new number when we reach that stage, if there is a requirement. But I think specifically this 100 million we are calling out so that it can go into your factoring and your modeling, because it is not something that we have seen in the past.
So sir, the expense is related not to the sales force, but I think you mentioned FCP and patient advocacy group related spend. So
what I said was it's a combination of all of them.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Understood. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Dr. Abhishek Sharma for closing comments.
Before we conclude the call, we would like to share an organizational update. Ms. Jayashree Sadagopan has joined Sun Pharma and will assume her role as Global Chief Financial Officer effective from 1st of July. Concurrently, Mr. C.S. Muralidharan will be superannuating from this role. On this occasion, we extend our sincere appreciation to Mr. Muralidharan for his unwavering commitment and distinguished leadership throughout his tenure with Sun Pharma. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Sun Pharmaceuticals Industries Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.